Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty with the incredible checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers in the supreme law of the land. That is the key to the peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. We always promote God, family, and country and protect life, liberty, and property. And it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back one heart, one mind issue at a time Friday. Man, have we got a lot to talk about. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Well, thank you for having me on again, Sam. I appreciate the opportunity to give a voice to liberty.
Well, boy, do we need voices for liberty. I'll tell you that right now because, whoa, it's a very hostile environment that we find ourselves in big time. The Department of Justice, I guess, published a new, quote, federal regulation expanding the regime of federal firearm background checks to cover guns purchased online, I guess at gun shows, and they say, and quote, and informal markets, claiming authority to do so, I guess from the bipartisan, they claim, Safer Communities Act, what is it, BFCA, I guess that thing is, passed by Congress in 2022, and it went into effect in, I guess, in 2023. They're using that as kind of the authority to do this. Thousands more firearm dealers across the United States will have to conduct background checks on buyers when selling at gun shows or places outside normal or traditional brick-and-mortar stores. There are already roughly about 80,000 gun dealers in the United States. They call them federally licensed firearms dealers, which I have a problem with that in the first place. What gives the federal government authority to license any of these 80,000 dealers? Administration officials believe that the new rule will impact more than 20,000 dealers who claim that oftentimes they're not in the business of firearm sales. They're just simply, selling guns kind of personally or whatever else in their smaller shops or whatever. The new rule, of course, is likely to be challenged in court by gun rights activists who have previously sued over other ATF rules that infringe on gun rights. For example, the National Shooting Sports Foundation basically says, hey, you know what? We're going to challenge it in court if it goes into effect as written. Well, now the battle's on. Congressional Republicans, they claim, will introduce legislation to repeal the Biden administration's latest emulation that expands background checks for gun purchases. The Daily Caller has learned the rule, I guess, has been staunchly opposed by congressional Republicans and gun rights groups with, I guess, Republican senators. Let's see, who is it? It's John Cornyn of Texas and Tom Tillis, I guess is how you say his name, of North Carolina. I guess those two are basically going to be introducing legislation to repeal the rule after it goes into effect or comes into effect. I don't even know how to respond to this. The administration is flat out acting lawless here, and the vast majority of this rule has nothing to do with the legislation that they claim that it's tied to. So the battle is on for this, Dr. Bradley, and Joe Biden is acting criminal. In my opinion, he should be literally impeached, removed from office over this. How dare he blatantly violate the Second Amendment like this? He's thumbed his nose at the courts over the student loan debt forgiveness stuff that he was told not to do, but he doesn't care. He says that won't stop us one bit. We don't care what the courts have to say. And this is true here now. He's just showing blatant disregard for the rule of law in America, and no one really has the guts to hold him to account. That's where we are, Doctor.
Well, indeed it is, and the gutless Republican Party that sits as the majority in the House, albeit all razor thin, and of course those that sit in the Senate wring their hands impotently about these kinds of things. I think the Constitution, Article 1, Section 1, says that all legislative authority is delegated to the legislature, the House and the Senate. And so they pass some idiot law in violation of the Second Amendment. That says that this right to keep bear arms shall not be infringed. And I guess that's a difficult term for morons to be able to understand. But at any rate, they strain any way they can to pull off this thing. Okay, you just said we got like 80,000 FFL, Federal Firearms License dealers.
Approximately, yeah.
Whatever. It's a number, and it's probably not too far off. What Biden is doing, his administration has been doing, is trying to filter and constrain that activity as much as possible. I have a friend that had a FFL dealership, and what's happening, they got a zero tolerance on paperwork stuff. And I don't remember, as the story told me, exactly how it came together, but there's a box you fill out on one of the forms you're filling out to buy a firearms. And I believe he said that you've got to write, if you're buying one firearm, O-N-E in there instead of putting the numeral 1 in there. And he put a numeral 1 in there, and they revoked his FFL. So if all you can get firearms through is these dealers, and they're getting rid of as many of those as they can, and now they're saying that in more casual exchange of firearms, in terms of how it's always been, now you're going to have a FFL license, Federal Firearms License, to be able to do that. Now, it's absolutely absurd how they're trying to strain at gnats, if you will, and swallow camels on this thing. But basically, it's going to make it more difficult to find somebody that you can buy guns from. And at some point, I believe the ultimate thing is that Father Canet hand them on to his children on his passing, or as a gift for Christmas, or anything else like that. I mean, I think that that it's just a little inextricable march to complete revocation of the ability to even handle firearms and so on. Let's look back in 1986. When they did this, the law in 86, they made it so that, previous to that time, if you wanted to buy a fully automatic firearm, you could fill out the paperwork, go through the background checks, buy the stamp, all that paperwork nonsense, going through the bureaucracy of the National Firearms Act, 1934. But in 1986, they said, oh, no, wait, civilians can never buy another one of these types of firearms if it was manufactured after 1986. Do the math. You're 38 years away from that now. And, you know, advancements are made in types of technology and firearms. You know, it's one of those things where they say, okay, look, sooner or later, they're going to be antiques. By 2086, you know, buying something that was manufactured prior to 1986 is going to be like buying a car, you know, a rifle that was bolt action from 1898. Okay, and so every single step of the way, there's an effort to constrain this further. Now, what they're saying is that these people that need to be able to transact with an FFL, if the person somewhat periodically sells guns, they're going to say, oh, no, we're not affecting those guys. We're just affecting those that have an income from this. Well, what if I bought it for $50 and I sell it for $55? Did I make income? There's all of these things that are going to be pulled out of the hat, ultimately and finally, that will infringe the right to keep and bear arms. So they're saying, oh, this will keep these firearms out of the hands of violent criminals. Bravo, Sierra. Violent criminals don't even deal in that world. You know, they're hand-me-downs from the previous criminal. They steal them from somebody's home. They, you know, somehow
they get them internationally from the United States, distributing weapons all around the world, and then they literally bring them back into the United States, believe it or not.
Fast and furious. If you look back in the Obama administration, what they were doing with the Fast and Furious program, where they were making straw purchases and sending them out, and it was the government that was trying to build the case, a false flag operation.
Roger that. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. We're talking about your right to keep and bear arms under threat by Congress and your, I don't know, is he your president? And they're even taking this battle international to do a back-end run round the rule of law in the United States of America. Hang
As
tight, Dr.
Aware,
Scott Bradley.
America
in seconds.
Is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. Call for civility.com.
America stands at a crossroads. This April 17th in Las Vegas, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association unveils a blueprint for hope at the Ahern Luxury Hotel. Join us alongside luminaries like General Flynn and Sheriff Richard Mack from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Discover a peaceful revolution to safeguard our constitutional republic. Seats are limited. Register now for just $49. Visit cspoa.org today. The time to act is now. cspoa.org.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right. Happy to have you back, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley, FreedomSizingSun.com is website. Check it out for incredible solutions to restore the republic and the traditions of our founding fathers. Is really, to preserve the nation is the goal. FreedomSizingSun.com. You can also check out his weekly webinars, Q&As on the Constitution, and a whole lot more. We're talking about this gun control thing. And the problem is they're fighting this internally. So the DOJ published a new, quote, federal regulation based on what they claim is congressional mandate or approval via legislation passed in 2022. And so this is going on. It'll be challenged in court, obviously. They say congressional Republicans will, submit legislation to repeal this. So I don't know how they repeal something if it's not passed by law, doctor. How do you repeal something that's not passed by law? That's interesting to me. So they can just create an edict and we say that it stands and it needs to be repealed? I don't think it needs to be repealed. I think we just need to arrest the criminals that are perverting the law if it's not on the books. Now, if it is on the books, we need to blame Congress. If it's not on the books, we need to arrest Joe. Take your pick.
Okay, so here's the deal with the federal registry process of being able to bring these executive orders to law, quote unquote. You didn't see my fingers do that. But the fact of the matter is, here's what the idiots in Congress have done. They've said if a president makes a directive such as this imbecilic action that they're taking, and they don't have an intervention by Congress to stop it, it becomes law after being announced publicly for a
period
of time.
But that's false. That's criminal. That violates the Sixth Amendment of America. People need to go to prison.
And the process is violated completely. It's been in place for a lot of years. It's been wrong for a lot of years. Just because it's been around for a lot of years doesn't make it right. But that's what they count on. And now what has to happen is the Congress, by their own nonsense that they've established, they have to intervene and say, we are hereby directing that this be removed from enforcement in America. That's basically what they're going to do. It's wrong. It shouldn't be. But that's the process the idiots set up. Okay, we need to, as a people, become educated about what kind of buffoonery is going on right now. So that's why Congress is saying we're going to step in and do this. There is no constitutional authority for the president to create law or any one of the executive departments or branches or elements of it. And they say, oh, it's not law, it's a policy. Oh, it's a regulation. Bravo, Sierra. If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. If it's being enforced upon the Americans as though it were law, it is law. And it's a false law. It's an unconstitutional law. And it should be found just at its face, full color, unconstitutional. But that's the way these people are doing business. And that's the way presidents have done this for the whole 20th century is just filled with this nonsense. And so Americans have got to become understanding of what the limits and bounds are. We keep saying if a nation cannot expect to be ignorant and free. That's what Jefferson said. You can read it in Isaiah. Hosea also said that in the Old Testament. We are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's what we're doing. And we as Americans we're at fault for letting it slip through our fingers. I know, Sam, we try to build understanding on these things constantly, but Americans have stopped caring. They care more about O.J. Simpson dying than they care about preserving the great blessings of liberty God ordained for this free land. So that's kind of the backstory about this. And I'm disgusted that it's come to this point, but it needs to stop, and all these people fighting it need to be praised, and it needs to be pushed through. And yes, indeed, we need to step in the gap.
You got that right. All I can tell you is this is serious, serious business, folks, because here's what I don't understand. You know, the administration claims that Congress gave them the authority, right, via this act or whatever.
You can't delegate authority if it's been given constitutionally by the, you know, consent of the governed through the ratification process.
Yeah, the Safer Community Act is what they're claiming gave them the authority. But congressional members say they didn't give authority. I agree you can't. I'm just telling you what they're claiming. So you're right, they can't, but they are and they did, right?
But it's wrong, and we need to step in the gap and say you can't do this. And it
without question.
Resisted to the nth degree.
The point I'm making. You say that he can't or it can't or whatever, and lawfully, you're spot on, 100%. However, he can and he will unless we stop him. Right?
Well, that's the everything is a, shall we say, a kind of an adversarial position. It used to just drive me crazy.
Unfortunately, that's right.
Where we do have to have pushback. Everybody in their constitutional office, the legislator needs to step in and say, I have the constitutional authority to prevent this. You will stand down. The president's office cannot create law. There's nothing creative about it.
100%.
All it can do
agreed.
Is sign and enforce. And the legislature has got
out,
to step in.
Right?
That's right. Well, if you enforce a law, you're carrying out, okay? I mean, they're different ways.
Yeah, my whole point is that we don't want enforcement at the federal level because there's no authority. But you're right about carrying it out and day-to-day carrying out of legitimate laws. The problem is this isn't law. It's the color of law, which is what you're pointing out, Dr. Bradley, and you're spot on. All I'm trying to get across is they will violate the law. They will force it down your throats. Let me give you an example. Believe it or not, 8 years ago now or whatever it is, 27 years ago, Sheriff Mack beat Bill Clinton about this very issue at the Supreme Court, and it took going all the way to the Supreme Court to stop him.
Well, that, by the way, that decision is a monumental decision that needs to be reviewed carefully, regularly, because, you know, people say, oh, yeah, the sheriffs don't have to do the background checks on a firearms purchase. Yeah, it says that, and that was the thing that precipitated it, but It's much more broadly stated than that, in that the general government, the federal government, the national government, however people want to denominate it, cannot direct local agencies. So it can't, they can't tell a state, they can't tell a sheriff, they can't tell a local police agency that they must do something. They are not under the direction of the general government. These local agencies, state agencies, are not. And I think we too narrowly focus what that decision did. That decision is a watershed decision. And I
yeah,
take my hat off.
Yeah, we call it the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered, Dr. Bradley.
It very likely is, or if it's not the greatest, it's in the top 10. I guarantee most Americans don't have a clue that it even happened. And in fact, most police agencies do not have a clue that it happened. And sheriffs and governors, I mean, you take it across the board.
Now, you know that Governor understanding Cox, who I'm not normally a big supporter of, but he did literally quote that MAC decision. He told the general government to go pound sand.
Was it in regards to, well, let me ask you, which subject?
Land rights, as far as I understand.
Well, I guess I would have to say I'm going to have to read that more carefully, because Governor Cox had a press conference lately that said they were supporting Greg Abbott's efforts to prevent illegal immigration. And the fact of the matter is Utah is an undeclared sanctuary state that probably has a higher percentage of illegals than virtually any state. I say percentage, on a per capita basis, Utah probably has more illegals in it, compared, bounced against, if you want, the number of legal Utah citizens. I would venture to guess we're certainly in the top five, if not the very top one. It's an undeclared situation in Utah. See, some states like Colorado or California or New York or wherever, Chicago, Illinois, you know, they say, oh, yeah, we're a sanctuary. Utah doesn't say it, but they do it. And
right about that that's, reality check.
So you hold a press conference, it does not mean truth. It means they're spinning it in their own way. So I'd like to see what he's
sure.
covering on. But the federal land, by the way, if Cox is saying pound sand, Utah's Land Act on that matter is woefully tyrannical. They replaced the Bureau of Land Management with the Division of Land Management. It's a locally owned and operated tyranny. It's within the state. I mean, we put spins on things, and people need to understand the backstory on it and go, whoa, 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 wait a minute, what just happened?
Yeah, what we do is we circumvent the supreme law of the land. We play games and violate the checks and balances and separations of powers. That's what really is at the heart of all this, right?
There's no question about it. We keep saying, go back to the original intent. Look at the original back trail. Follow that trail back to where we were. What happened and was in the hearts and minds of those people that established this nation. And you can understand that from the things that were said and written and done in their era. You don't have to make it an esoteric, ethereal, let's redefine the terms kind of thing. Look at what happened and follow the path. You could come back there. But we're not doing that as a people, and it's just disgusting to me.
We better start to stand, ladies and gentlemen. Your five guarantees in the First Amendment have been under assault for the last several years. Now they're going after the Second Amendment just as feverishly. And understand this. They call it the UN Small Arms Treaty, and they say that Biden intends to sign UN gun ban, which is really this UN Small Arms Treaty. The problem is what the presidents usually do, if we follow Barack Obama and or Joe Biden's kind of pattern, they don't really back it 100%. What they do is they kind of sign on to it themselves, and then they wait, legislatively, not giving it to the Senate. And then they try to time it perfectly to slam dunk it and betray the people behind their backs while they're not really watching. We'll talk about that in seconds with Dr. Bradley on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. There's new information about U.S. intelligence officers who reportedly believe roughly half the Israeli hostages held by Hamas in Gaza may already be dead. The Israeli Defense Force has said it believes as many as 30 hostages may have already lost their lives at the hands of Hamas. This new reporting suggests the number could be double that. A new report cites American officials familiar with U.S. and Israeli intelligence on the matter. Former President Trump and Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson are expected to hold a press briefing Friday at Mar-a-Lago. This as Republican infighting continues in the House of Representatives. Corey Myers with more.
A key vote on a bill to reauthorize the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act failed on the House floor.
But it's pretty clear and obvious and being whispered among the conference. Mike Johnson does not have the support of the conference.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, after that vote, 19 Republicans broke ranks with party leadership and voted against that measure.
More reaction to news of O.J. Simpson's death at the age of 76, Cato Kalin. One of the character witnesses during the O.J. trial had this to say Thursday.
I would just put out my condolences just to the kids.
Simpson's family says he passed away after battling cancer. He was charged with the murders of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ron Goldman back in the 1990s. Disgraced former L.A. Dodgers interpreter Ippei Mizuhara stole quite a bit more of superstar Shohei Ohtani's money than was originally reported. The update from U.S. Attorney in Los Angeles, Martin Estrada, Thursday.
In total, Mr. Mizuhara stole over $16 million. From Mr. Ohtani's account.
The interpreter is accused of using his relationship with the Japanese star to fund his gambling addiction. This is USA News.
Right now, you can eliminate odors, mold, mildew, bacteria, and viruses in your home with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm uses oxy technology that naturally sends out O3 molecules that seek out and destroy odors. The Thunderstorm doesn't mask or cover up bad smells, it eliminates them, leaving that fresh, clean smell, just like after a thunderstorm. The Thunderstorm is small, plugs right into the wall, and fits in the palm of your hand. Put one in your basement, bedroom, family room, kitchen, or anywhere you want clean, fresh air. It even includes a USB cord for your car or truck. Right now, save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack for whole home protection. That's 3 units for under $200, a fraction of the cost compared to other air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code USA3 to save $200. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Use USA and the number 3. Shipping is free.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
The runner on third takes a short lead. Elwood glances over. Now back to the plate. He sets the pitch. It's swung on. Strike three! They've won it! They have won it! World champions! Jim, what's it like down on the field?
John, it's a madhouse down here. I'm trying to get to Bob Elwood, the winning pitcher. Bob, how does it feel? Winning the seventh game on a strikeout.
Yeah, I thought he'd be looking for a slider, so I came on with my fastball.
World champions! Is this the greatest moment of your life?
Absolutely not. Jim, the best moments for me are breakfast with the kids. Long walks with my wife, just holding her hand, you know?
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Jim, when was the last time you held your wife's hand?
Well, it's been a while.
I tell you, you need to step up to the plate, Jim.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomrisingsun.com, and yours truly on your radio. We're talking about your right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, says the supreme law of the land through the Bill of Rights. But the DOJ published a, quote, new federal regulation expanding the infringement of your God-given right of self-defense codified in the Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen. They call it the Bipartisan Safe Communities Act. They claim gave them authority. That's a lie. Congress says they're going to try to repeal it, which I find problematic as well. How do we repeal a law that never was, a law that didn't have authority? If I make a law, do you have to repeal the law that I make? Well, that's the lie we've fallen into, ladies and gentlemen, is we've given the president carte blanche ability to do whatever he wants. Then we complain when it goes south. It's insanity, ladies and gentlemen. They say congressional Republicans will introduce legislation to repeal. I don't know why we need to repeal it. I think we just need to simply arrest Joe Biden for his criminal activity. He swore an oath that he would obey and uphold and protect us from enemies, foreign and domestic. Anybody who wants to take away our guns is a foreign or a domestic enemy, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be very clear. But the UN Small Arms Treaty is where they're going next, too, to take this, quote, international and do an end run round the United States and our rule of law in America as well. Biden intends to sign UN gun ban. And you could say, well, you know what, Sam, that's a far-fetched idea. It's not going to happen. But what these, as I mentioned right before the pause, what these presidents have been doing is they kind of sign on to it themselves, and then they don't really bring it to the Senate, and they just kind of let it languish and languish and languish, eventually to try to, you know, push it over the line when no one's watching, or add it to some omnibus spending bill or this or that, or get some tacit approval waiting for the right time and stuff like that. They play all these games with this, but it literally eats away at national sovereignty, doctor.
Okay, so there's so many lies in what you just said. I'm not saying you're lying, Sam. I'm saying what they have told are lies.
Yeah,
okay?
the explanation that they lay down is an absolute, I agree 100%. It's a complete lie. It's fraudulent, and I submit to you that it's criminal to
okay,
do this
well, let's,
when they've
let's,
sworn an oath to the contrary, right?
It is to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. That's a presidential oath. Here's the deal. Number one, a president cannot, underline, bold letters, everything, capital letters, cannot invoke any kind of imposition of international law upon this nation or international agreement or accords or anything else that there's there. The president cannot do that. Okay, that
okay,
is
so you're
totally
talking lawfully and legally and morally he
okay,
cannot. Often
okay,
they
Sam,
do, though, right?
They cannot. And it's ignorant Americans that allow it to happen. Now, let's just take it a step forward.
100%.
If it is a ratified treaty, see, he can't slip it in to a bill someplace, an omnibus bill or something. He cannot. No bill. The Constitution is paramount to any other legislative action. Okay, so the president can't do it. They can't slip it into a bill. If it went to the Senate and the Senate ratified a treaty, the Senate cannot change that organic document, the United States Constitution, with a treaty ratification. And we can go back and we can prove this to the cows come home with the American Founding Fathers statements. But let's go closer to that. Let's go 67 years ago. In 1957, the Supreme Court decision, Reed v. Covert, go look it up. Read the entire decision. You'll be cheering all the way through. They absolutely, unequivocally, this is a Warren decision, a Warren court, Chief Justice Earl Warren, one of the few things he did right in his life, I think. But the Supreme Court, first of all, in 56, ruled that an international agreement could overrule the United States Constitution. Then they said, whoa, 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 baby. They had a moment of clarity. The light bulb went on to say, whoa. And they asked the attorney that had brought that to the Supreme Court in 56 to come back in 57 and argue it again before them, and they overturned themselves. And they said no international agreement
or
treaty.
Yeah, and let me explain why
executive.
They came to their knowledge on this, because they realized that once you say that can happen, the Constitution is DOA, dead on arrival. Because if anything can precede it, supersede it, whatever you want to call it, if it lacks its, quote, supremacy status, then we're off to the races for the destruction of all we hold dear in terms of the rule of law, right?
Absolutely. I wish there were there 15 or 20 minutes. I could read you little segments out of this Reed v. Covert 1957 decision that absolutely, unequivocally pounds the nails in the coffin, seals it up, puts it in the ground, and buries it. Okay, now the Founding Fathers did that, you know, more than 200 years ago. But the Warren Court did this. And by the way, another interesting thing, this small arms treaty, which really started in the 1980s, it ruled forward into the early 2000s. In 2006, the General Assembly passed it. A bunch of nations have signed on to it. And most nations think that a president signs on to it, it has committed the United States to it. It can't, it doesn't, and it won't. And we need to quit acting like it does, because if we act like it, it will be. But this is an absolute complete falsehood. And even Snopes, you know, that, I don't know, verification group that looks at things and see if they're true or false, even they say this is a false assumption. When if they're saying it, you can imagine how powerful our position has to be on this. They cannot say by international agreement, president's signature, treaty ratification by the Senate, you cannot change a constitutional right that we have. Here's the deal. If you do a constitutional amendment, there's a process, and the consent of the governed is required. How do they get that? Through a ratification process. If the president signs and the Senate agrees, the right of the people to give their consent is completely abrogated. If you have a treaty, it doesn't do that. The president and two-thirds of the Senate say it's okay to violate the treaty or the Constitution, you can't do it. If you're going to amend the Constitution, it goes to two-thirds of both houses, then three-quarters of the states have to agree to it. That is eliminated under the process that people are talking about. People that are stirring this pot just need to know they need to educate the American people in the truth and quit scaring them to death that it's going to happen and we're going to lose the Second Amendment because some idiot that can't remember what he had for breakfast puts his crayon mark on a treaty. And people need to understand we hold the position of authority. It cannot be taken from us. We can allow it to slip through our fingers, but they cannot take it from a people that understands the truth.
You're right 100%, but it's slipping through our fingers due to ignorance. And I'll give you an example. Steve Baker, for example, went to the January 6th event as a journalist. He did not, as far as I understand, go into the Capitol. He might have gone into video. He was a journalist. He didn't do anything. He didn't destroy anything. They literally arrested him, okay, for nothing. Okay, we have a guy speaking at our event coming up. He went to jail for 10 days, and all he did was go into the Capitol because when he went to the Capitol doors, he had to go to the restroom. He went to the Capitol doors, and they said, come on in. So he did, and he went to the bathroom, walked around for a minute and said, oh, this is an incredible building, and then he walked out, and they literally arrested him and put him in prison for 10 days for doing nothing. And listen carefully to what they said. They said, we know that you have not broken any laws at all. However, you were a drop in the flood that day. He'll be coming to speak about that experience that he had. He started a program to have decency to the prisoners because they were abused in prison and everything else. And anyway, he'll go into it. But all I'm telling you is the court said we know you broke no law, but you were a drop in the flood that day. Therefore, you're going to jail. It's just insanity. That's the problem that we're facing, Doctor, is these thugs are just criminals. And unless we, the people, stand up and use the checks and balances, use the proper role of government to stop them by our greater numbers, we're in trouble. So you're right that it can't be done legally, lawfully, morally, anything else, but we can let it slip through our fingers if we're not very careful, people. They're also doing this to go international with treaties relating to the World Health Organization. They're backing into a way to try to force us to respond to international mandates on COVID cards or whatever you want to call it, vaccine cards and this stuff. And they're really working on it through a variety of efforts and a variety of ways. They're trying to take all these things, quote, global or international. And it's a serious problem because legally, morally, lawfully, you're right, 100%. But if the American people do nothing, they will abuse us.
Well, that's the problem. We, the people, have got to take responsibility for everything that happens. If we put idiots and buffoons and baboons and clowns or whatever you want to call them into office, we will ultimately get the form of government that we deserve. Now, part of the problem is, I'm confident I speak for you, Sam. I speak for myself, certainly, and all of my family. We stand completely four square in every angle and responsibility in every manner against the usurpations that are happening today. My grandchildren do not deserve to have the blessings of liberty removed from them by these people that are currently holding office. And if we don't start doing something about it, that's what's going to happen. We are going
You're
to have...
exactly right. When we come back, let's talk about what we can do, where our pressure can be felt, what we, the people with greater numbers, can accomplish if we put our hearts and minds and, well, if we turn to God for guidance and direction and support, there's no end to what we can accomplish. Let's wrap up the next segment on that note. We'll do it in seconds on your radio.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked to
hear that. So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
America stands at a crossroads. This April 17th in Las Vegas, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association unveils a blueprint for hope at the Ahern Luxury Hotel. Join us alongside luminaries like General Flynn and Sheriff Richard Mack from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Discover a peaceful revolution to safeguard our constitutional republic. Seats are limited. Register now for just $49. Visit cspoa.org today. The time to act is now. cspoa.org.
All right, when Dr. Bradley says he speaks for his family and he says, I think he speaks for Sam Bushman, in this case, he absolutely does. We stand 1,000% against the perversion of the proper role of government and the supreme law of our land. And we, the people, need to use our greater numbers to stop them, ladies and gentlemen. It's that simple. We are the sovereigns under God Almighty, and we have delegated authority to them. And when they step out of bounds and violate the proper authority delegated, they are criminals. They are rogue and need to be stopped. Now, we can peacefully stop them in a variety of ways. One, talking on the radio and educating Americans to what's really happening. Educating Americans to what the real story is. The rule of law is on our side. Okay, so we can do a lot of things. We can call our members of Congress. We can make sure that they don't get elected again if they back these kind of things, that we find somebody else. There's a lot we can do about this, Dr. Bradley, if we just would.
Well, let me again emphasize, and then I'll tell you a couple of things that Jefferson said. But first of all, again, please no misunderstand. The United States Constitution cannot be modified or amended through a treaty process, an international agreement process, an executive agreement process. Nothing the president does or says or Congress does or says can do this. Even if they say
we propose.
And let me make
this as simple as possible. The reason why is all legislative power is in the Congress. All.
This isn't even the legislative.
All.
This is not even the legislative power. They cannot legislate away a constitutional process. They cannot.
Of course they can, but it starts by understanding the only legislative authority is in Congress on the national level, period.
Exactly. But they,
and then the debate is what they have authority to do, right?
They're limited and bounded by the delegated authority. They cannot do this. The Constitution is supreme. It's paramount. Okay, so the next thing is, and I've said this many, many times, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be. That's Jefferson wrote that back in the days before, well, it was 208 years ago is when he wrote that. So we can't be ignorant and free. And then he went on to say, 4 years after that, I know of no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise the control with wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. And that's, I've dedicated my life to try and do that. Now here's, he went on to say, just the next paragraph, this is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. So the understanding of the people is essential. And if we will not allow ourselves to become understanding of these things, we will lose it. The Roman Empire lost it for its reasons. And every free people ultimately loses their freedom. But we have a chance right now to put a stake in the ground and say, this will not happen on my watch. And your grandkids don't understand now what's at stake, but you do. It's time to step up and say, we're not going to allow this. And our, you know what, our legislators, they come back home on their little Easter breaks and they go around and they make their little presentations and they go to their Lincoln Day deals with the Republican Party.
And they all want you to listen while they speak instead of the other way around.
That's exactly right. And what happens with these gatherings is if there's three or four or two of them even, they praise each other to high heaven about how lucky we are to have them there. But hard questions need to be given to them. And then we need to make certain that they are removed from office if they have these fatal flaws. I don't care how much bacon they bring home, how much they say, oh, but, you know, we brought some really nice funding to your police department in our last legislation. You know what? They're buying the police department. What they're doing is they're making it into a federal
police. You're right about
that. I just use that as one example. Hundreds, thousands of examples where these omnibus bills have pork in them.
Gun rights are going to be one of the big issues for 2024 with Joe Biden doing this, with the battle on, with many different states. You've got the whacked out folks in Illinois, the whacked out folks in Colorado, the whacked out folks in Washington State. There's several places where this abuse is being doubled down on by not only the President of the United States, but the governors of those states as well. They're acting criminal in the same pursuit. Sheriffs have said, we're not going to tolerate this. We're not going to enforce this. We're not going to do it. So the battle's on. But it's gearing up to be a serious election campaign discussion because Donald Trump Jr., for example, will be joining the board of the directors of Hunter Nation. I don't know how much people know about Hunter Nation, but it's a group focused on protecting the hunting lifestyle and its heritage. Daily Caller with this news piece, and I know that my buddy Ted Nugent's on this board as well. Ted Nugent says about Donald Trump Jr. joining this, he says this, Hunter Nation's national spokesperson, Ted Nugent said, quote, with Trump Jr.'s admission to the board, Hunter Nation has now built a dream team. I know it's not about hunting necessarily, but there are people who are starting to stand up. And if we are smart, we the people will make this a huge election issue. I don't care what side of the aisle you're from or what you, you know, the fact is we have the right to keep and bear arms, and that right shall not be infringed. When the president tries to infringe on that, he's gone criminal. He's gone rogue, and he needs to be stopped. And Richard Mack stopped him in 97, and we better stop him again now because they never give up. They keep going on it, whittling at it, this and that. And the other. We've got to stand up and say no, no, and no. I don't care if it's international or, quote, UN or whatever, foreign or domestic. He's sworn an oath to protect us from foreign or domestic enemies, and he's become enemy number one if he promotes the violation of the Second Amendment, Doctor. Now, I don't mean enemy number one in terms of physical fighting or war, you know, I'm talking about that viewpoint, that understanding, that pushing that agenda has become enemy number one to us. I'm not talking violent rhetoric. Let's be very clear. I'm saying that you cannot swear an oath to the supreme law of the land and then push to violate the Second Amendment. The two aren't compatible. And we, the people, need to stand up and articulate this in a way that it crosses the partisan divide, that it crosses to where everybody just says, listen, We're not doing that. We're not going to allow that bridge to be crossed. And unless we the people stand up and do it, they will cross that bridge. They will destroy it, our rights, because we're not defending them, because we're not serious enough about them. And I'm afraid, sadly, the American people may not defend it enough because they're too busy with blood and circus entertainment. They're too distracted to really realize what's happening here. And that's what this talk show is designed to do, is say, jettison the distractions, stand up. You've got an opportunity now to preserve this nation, to defend the constitutional republic, to uphold the rule of law and the proper role of limited constitutional government. Now is the time. We cannot wait. We cannot sit on the sidelines. I'm not talking about any violence or anything else. Don't misunderstand. We can peacefully restore the republic, but it takes enough of us, Doctor. The system is designed for that to be the case.
Let's talk about Hunter Nation for just a second. I don't know anything about them. They're probably a wonderful, lovely, delightful organization, and I would not try and detract or, in any way deflect from what they're trying to do. The fact that they have some big names associated with it is, all well and good. But lest there be a misunderstanding, the Second Amendment has absolutely zero to do with hunting, plinking, target practice, collecting, or a pleasant pastime of anything, of even just looking at firearms. It has everything to do with defending life, liberty, property. The God-given right is not to do with anything. We allow ourselves sometimes to say, hey, well, it's hunting. Well, you can bolt action, use a bolt action rifle and go hunt, or a single shot muzzle loading powder gun. Anything you want to do, fine, good, do it. Have at it. I have,
use a bow and arrow, Doctor.
Yeah, I took my dad many years ago before he died out black powder shooting one day. He said it was the funnest he'd ever had in his life. He said, I can't believe it. The blue smoke around you and everything like that. It's a lot of fun. But it has nothing to do with the right to keep and bear arms. You can do that if you want, and it's a nice pastime. Hunt, shoot, plink. Plinking is shooting tin cans. Target practice, collect, do whatever you darn well please. But don't you get so tied on the Second Amendment issue to the point that people say, hunting's great. Well, black powder rifles and bolt actions and single shots and everything to go do that. You'll be okay. We're going to protect that right. You have politicians that have said that. I have personally sat in the presence of senators and congressmen that have told me that they protected that right. Bravo, Sierra. They let go other things that were far more important. I don't want to detract from your fun, but I do want to detract from the destruction of our liberty and the implementation of tyranny. So lest there be a misunderstanding, people got to stand up and recognize it's big, broader than what Trump
and no matter what groups we gather around, whether it's the hunting groups, the plinkers, the people who, concealed carry people, whatever, all these different groups need to stand together for the Second Amendment for all the downstream reasons they may use the Second Amendment. I mean, it is for plinking as much as it is for hunting, as much as it is to say, no, the government shall not cross this line. It's all of the above, right? My right to keep and bear arms relates to all of it.
Absolutely. Do it. Enjoy it. Cherish it. But don't let it slip through your fingers.
Yeah, and understand what it's going to take for it not to slip through our fingers. It's a fundamental understanding that it says clearly, shall not be infringed. Everything they're doing now is infringing on our right to keep and bear arms, and we better stand up and stop it. It's that clear, that simple. By the way, gold and silver going up, 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 and away. We're keeping an eye on that as well, and we'll talk about that next hour. I am Sam Bushman. I'm with Dr. Scott Bradley. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website, his incredible collegiate series to preserve the nation, is available there as well as weekly webinars, Q&As on the Constitution, and more. I'm telling you, he brings the receipts, ladies and gentlemen, in a meaningful way. I'll tell you that right now. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.